Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sunshine Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real fast before you get into things, some show notes for you. If you're looking for some wrestling, tonight, WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. LPW happening in Middletown, Ohio tonight. Tomorrow night, you can find myself at Woo America over in Bremerton, Washington at Poblanitas. Lucha Libre Volcanica right here in Seattle, Washington. And RCW in Talmadge, Ohio tomorrow night. So if you have some wrestling near you, get out there, support the local independents, pick up some merchandise. Also, if you're thinking of some wrestling merchandise, Tracy Smothers has a shop over at ProWrestlingTees.com. He's come into some health issues, so definitely get out there, support Tracy Smothers, pick up some of his merchandise, makes great gifts. And without any further ado, I want to welcome our guest to the show for the first time today. He is all the way from the Appalachian Mountains, the Appalachian Wild Man, Victor Vargas. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah, it's old Dirty Double V himself. What's going on, everybody? Glad to be here.
We're happy to have you on the show, and since it is your first time with us, we will start you out with the traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the professional wrestling business?
Oh, geez. Oh, I've grown up loving pro wrestling. You know, just grew up watching it. One day just decided, had to do it myself, had to give it a try, had to see how old Vargas could fare in the world of pro wrestling.
Getting into professional wrestling, did you have any sort of background that was going to help you out, be it any type of amateur wrestling or other athletics or maybe some sort of past military training, anything that was going to assist you in pro wrestling training?
No, that was always the funniest thing, was never an athletic kid. Never really got into anything athletic. I was always the kid that sat around and played his Game Boy, went home, played his video games, was never really into football or any other kind of sport. I only ever really loved professional wrestling, so I never had any other background in any other athletics. I didn't really get into anything athletic until I was already an adult and trying to become a professional wrestler.
Well, you wrestle there in the Kentuckiana area quite a bit. Kentucky, southern Indiana, Tennessee, West Virginia, that general area. It's become a hotbed of professional wrestling. A lot of great talent resides there and wrestles there. Do you think coming into the area where you are, that may have helped you out a little bit quicker than if you had started somewhere else in the nation?
Absolutely. It's such a rich area of extremely talented young men and women right now. And we've got so many places that are such great outlets for pro wrestling right now. And a lot of guys breaking in at the same time. It's almost created, at least for me, it's almost like a competition level. There's almost a little competition of you've got to get out ahead of the pack. You got to get out ahead of everybody else. And there's so many great people out here, man. Like so many places, like some of the places I go. I go to IWA Mid-South and Rockstar, where there's just a locker room full of amazingly talented people. And even in my short time, it's caused me to have to just step up my game that much more.
Now, you've very quickly become a favorite among a lot of the fans. The fans seem to have taken to you right away. Every wrestler has those moments with the fans that become very special moments for them for whatever reason. I'm sure you've had a few moments already that have been meaningful for you as a young wrestler. What's been your favorite moment with the fans so far?
Oof. Oh, man. That's a good question. I like that. I think my favorite moment so far is back in my home promotion of Primetime Wrestling. That's where I was trained. That's where I was broken into the business so far. But I had an opportunity against our current heavyweight champion, a very talented young man by the name of Hollywood Adam Swayze. And we were having a pretty fire little match, and a moment came in the match, he hit me with a curb stomp, and you could hear the room deflate. It was over, it was done. The world title dreams were over, and the brother hooked me for the one, two, and I gave a huge kick, and you heard the whole building just come up with me. And I just remember looking out and seeing people coming up out of their seats, and just immediately started, you know, the chanting, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was such a, it was such a cool feeling. Like, even laying on the mat at the moment, trying to collect myself, it was such a cool feeling of everyone in the building, almost catching that second wind of, after I kicked, it's like they believed with me, and they stood up, and they were trying to will me on. It was such an awesome moment.
You referenced the home promotion being Primetime Wrestling, which is there in Paris, Kentucky. And Primetime Wrestling recently had a few seminars, one of which, the one where I first came across you in person, being the Bob Evans seminar. A lot of younger wrestlers have found a lot of good in seminars. They've helped them kind of expand being able to network with different people, being able to hone their skills, get a little bit of a different voice in there, that which sometimes helps in training. I know you've done a few of the seminars. What is your opinion of how helpful seminars can be to young wrestlers?
I think the benefits of going to a wrestling seminar are just completely endless. Any seminar I'd say people have an opportunity to go to, they should absolutely take advantage of, because you're getting to sit under the learning tree of people that are far and beyond our experience within this business. And even if you've been in maybe 5, 6, 7, maybe even a decade, I'd say you never really ever stop learning in professional wrestling. That's one thing that I've picked up on even in my short time in. So when you get to listen to a brutal Bob Evans who's been all over the world and seen everything, and the man has an opportunity to take you and say, hey, let's look at professional wrestling this way. I'd say you'd almost be foolish not to listen to him. Or if you have an opportunity, like soon, maybe going even to someone like a Homicide and just seeing he gets to take you and take pro wrestling. It's like, here's how I approach pro wrestling, and here's how I was successful. You have an opportunity to, you know, really step out of your own wheelhouse, maybe step out of how you were shown things, and see the world of professional wrestling through someone else's eyes, and pick their brain, and pick up how they found success in it. It really gets you an opportunity to expand your horizons. It's one of the best ways, the seminar is the best way to help a young wrestler really expand their horizons, I believe.
And when you get into the ring with people like, say, a Bob Evans or a Tracy Smothers or someone that has been at the national level on national TV and has wrestled full time, even if it's in a seminar setting, do you find that at this point in your career the nerves kick in a little bit more than a standard match, or do you have the same feelings getting in there with them as you would with anybody else?
man, like maybe beforehand, you get, you know, you get those butterflies, maybe that reality hits of like, oh man, I'm about to tangle with somebody who's, you know, seeing things I've only ever dreamed of so far. But man, I'm telling you, like once the music hits, once the bell rings, at least for me, it's all business at that point. Like all those nerves disappear, and maybe it's the professional in me takes over, and maybe that confidence kicks in. Like, you know I do, even this early, I do belong to being here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in here with, say, a Tracy Smothers or a Brutal Bob. And, you know, then that's when professional wrestling just becomes fun, is when you can just be confident in yourself and just in any situation. That's when professional wrestling is fun for me. But, yeah, I typically don't get nervous once the action starts.
One of the great things that happened shortly after the last Bob Evans seminar there in Paris was the trainer of yourself and several other of the young wrestlers and the star and promoter of Primetime Wrestling, legendary Larry D, was signed to a full-time contract at Impact Wrestling. What was the thoughts going through your head as you saw Larry D get that offer from Scott D'Amore and get signed to Impact?
I'll tell you the exact story. I was actually at IWA Mid-South. I was standing behind the curtain waiting for intermission to end so I could do my match when another trainee of ours burst in and just, like, yelled it right in my face, like, oh my gosh, Larry got signed. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she showed me on her phone where Impact had announced it, and she played the clip of D'Amore shaking his hand. And we just turned into like two little kids, you know, rushing down the stairs on Christmas just to try to tell that we told the rest of the locker room. They were elated. We, you know, we rushed back up the stairs, told the promoter. You know, Ian Rotten announced it over the house. Everybody clapped. It was such a surreal, awesome moment because you know how hard the man's been working for it. Even the short time that I've known Larry D, within the year that I've met him, like we know how hard he's worked for it. It was such a surreal, awesome moment. There's like we're so happy for him. Even now, we're still so happy for the man.
Unfortunately, my allergies kicked in about the time that Paige hit the ring, so made my vision a little hazy there, but very glad she was there to share in that moment, too.
Absolutely.
Obviously, with Larry D being at Impact, the pedigree is going to have a little bit more of a importance to it, being trained by someone that now is a nationally known performer. Even though legendary Larry D was a very, very big name on the independents for years before that, when you know that someone with a pedigree of Larry D is the trainer, do you find that that is opening more doors for you with other promotions, just knowing who trained you?
Honestly, Larry's already helped me get so much. Already, like I thank Larry for everything that I have. The man, even now, goes out of his way to try to, you know, get me in bookings that otherwise maybe they wouldn't, you know, look at me normally. I'd say the pedigree of Larry D. Like that's a name that I've already had people go into locker rooms. They ask, you know, who trains me, and immediately, almost a sense of relief comes over them. Like, oh, okay, I'm not just dealing with some random guy trained by somebody I've never heard. Like there's some pedigree, there's some trust in that name. Like, okay, a student of Larry D, he's going to be okay. He can go. He's going to be all right. Yeah, the name of Larry D has its own benefits, I guess you could say.
Now, Primetime Wrestling, for fans unfamiliar, is a weekly show that is every Sunday. There's pay-per-view events that happen periodically, pay-per-views, and Primetime has become a pretty well-known independent company there in Kentucky. Now, especially for someone like yourself that doesn't have a lot of experience yet, how important do you think it is for wrestlers like yourself to have that weekly promotion where you can go in there every single week and wrestle, usually against different opponents, and wrestle a little bit more frequently than guys that are going to promotions that run only once a month or bi-monthly or what have you?
Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm lucky enough to have three weekly places I can hold my craft at. But, you know, the more time you get in the ring, you can only get better. It's, you know, steel sharpens steel, you know what I'm saying? I'm extremely blessed to have a place that not only trains twice a week, but then I also get to also get into the ring and hone my skill that way. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that's the best way to do it is when it's live action. And I'm extremely blessed to be able to do that week in and week out. And not only do that, but do it at least wrestle three times a week. It's very rare now that I don't wrestle three times a week, which is just, I believe it tells me, dividends. Like, it's ridiculous how much it's helped me.
Obviously, for someone to wrestle three times a week, they have to be in good condition. And with that conditioning often comes maintaining a strict diet. Some wrestlers are extremely strict with the diet. Some of them a little less so, but they have a particular type of diet they follow. What's the diet like for you these days?
I'm mostly a diet of pasta meat and dirty creek water. but no, really, right here recently, I've more tightened up. I've really cut pop out of my diet, and that's helped a lot. And I'm a lot of protein. I do a lot of chicken. I do a lot of rice. I do a lot of broccoli. That's just me personally. I'm in no way. I don't really know how to suggest a dietary plan. Again, though, I'm lucky enough to have someone like Larry D, who is, he knows the man was, you know, once a power lifter. He knows all about food plans. That's the man I go to if I have any questions. I've recently started carrying around a gallon of water a day, drinking that, you know, and that's helped a lot.
Ow. A lot of the training also comes down to exercise and weightlifting and that type of thing. What are you doing as far as that type of conditioning to maintain shape?
I go out of my way to make sure I hit the gym every day. I don't know if you necessarily need to hit the gym every day, but I've made it a personal point. 4 a.m., I wake up, I get ready, I go to the gym for at least an hour. I pick a specific body part to work on, and that's just what I work on that day. And I say every day, it's 5 days a week. Sixth day, I might focus more on cardio. And I think you've got to be rigorous in that. You've got to keep going. That's one thing you really have to stay on top of if you really want to shape your body to be an athlete or especially a professional wrestler, because it's such a different beast. That's one thing you have to be rigorous on is your workout routine. You can't let up on that.
Absolutely. And with the working out and the eating right, a lot of wrestlers are able to maintain proper conditioning and maintain a look that is going to help them in their careers. Years and years ago in professional wrestling, there was a very large steroid problem where people would supplement with overuse of steroids, which led to a number of problems in the wrestling industry. A lot of people had their lives shortened because of it. A lot of people had a lot of injuries from overuse of steroids. There were legal problems connected to it. I know that the industry at the top levels tried to clean most of that up and seemingly has succeeded with that. But just from what you have seen so far in your career, do you think that there is any semblance of a steroid problem in wrestling, or do you think that that is mostly something that is in the past?
I think that's something that's just it's been evolved out of our industry, honestly. Everywhere I go, it's everyone understands the grind. I'm all about putting your nose to the grind. Everybody I've come across understands, you know, you really only prosper through the hardest of work. And taking shortcuts isn't going to get you anywhere. It's not going to help you any. The only way you can truly prosper is by buckling down, having some self-accountability, and really pushing yourself forward to achieve what you want to achieve. And the best way to do that is the cleanest way possible, not necessarily just when it comes to something like, you know, artificially supplementing your body, but just hard work in general. And that comes, and of course that comes with the gym and anything else you do in professional wrestling. But yeah, I think that is an antiquated practice. I honestly, in my heart of hearts, I honestly believe that is something that has just died out and in its wake has been replaced with just pure raw passion that drives guys forward. And I love it.
One of the things in professional wrestling that often will help a wrestler kind of come out of their shell a little bit when they need it and also help learn the business from a different point of view is commentary. With the advent of so many streaming services and high pay-per-views and so forth, a lot of promotions will utilize wrestlers as color commentators more than they had in the past. Is commentary anything that you have given thought of doing at any point in your career?
not really. Me myself, I don't see not much on commentary. Not much on never had any aspirations to be on commentary, be a part of commentary. It'd be cool if I was, you know, invited to sit down on a mic and everyone could hear what old Victor Vargas thinks of the match at hand, but it's really nothing I've really had any aspirations of being on. I prefer to just, you know, put me out in front of the people, let me get out in front of them, and they'll learn exactly who I am.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions for you as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
All righty.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Victor.
Hello.
Victor, I saw your YouTube video entitled 11/29/19 Big Time Pro Wrestling Presents BTW 22nd Anniversary Show. My first question is, did Big Time Pro Wrestling hold a 21st anniversary show last year? And if so, were you there?
I can only imagine that Big Time Pro Wrestling did, in fact, probably celebrate their 21st birthday as well. I mean, who wouldn't want to celebrate their 21st birthday? As far as I'm concerned, that's the best birthday. That's when the world really opens up to you. But I myself was not privy to those events. Old Dirty Double V was not at the 21st event, sadly.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Victor, your opponent for the match was hailed from Lexington, Kentucky, and his announced weight was 163 pounds, or in boxing, he would have been a middleweight, since 165 and above is super middleweight. His name was Unforeseen Sensational Fred, or at least I think I heard the Fred right. Had you faced him before?
His name is Perez instead of Fred, but he's definitely going to start being called Fred by me. But Unforeseen Perez is actually another student of Primetime Wrestling with myself, and we've actually come up together a little bit, and we've actually developed something of a little bit of a rivalry. Fun fact, Perez was my first ever opponent. When I had my first match, it was against Perez. although I was not his first opponent. And we've encountered each other off and on, even within about my short 5-6 months in the business. We've come together about 4 or 5 times, and we've developed a little bit of a rivalry. And it gets a little bit more, each match gets a little bit more intense every time we find ourselves standing across from each other.
Would you agree that unforeseen, since Perez bore a striking resemblance to another Kentucky wrestler, the Progressive Liberal? And indeed, have you heard of the Progressive Liberal?
I can't say I've heard of this Progressive Liberal brother. But you know, I hope he's not as bad as Perez, because we already got one Perez, and I don't need two of those brothers, you know, nipping at my heels, always trying to get up one on old Dirty Double V.
Wow. Well, okay, you might want to look up a YouTube video of the wrestler known as the Progressive Liberal. He comes to the ring in Hillary Clinton t-shirts, and that's not so popular in Kentucky.
Yeah, I'll definitely seek him out. I need to see that.
Oh, okay. That's very good. Very good. Okay. Well, now, Victor, you came to the ring with this match with Unforeseen Sensational Perez to the entrance music Country Boy at Heart. Would you say that you patterned your entrance music or were influenced by the entrance music of Dr. Death Steve Williams? Did he play an integral part?
Oh, funny fact about my entrance music. The entrance music you hear me come out to at Big Time Wrestling was not of my choosing. That music was chosen for me. So maybe they were inspired by Dr. Death, but being a gigantic fan of Dr. Death, it definitely makes me a bigger fan of that music, to know that maybe there is a little bit of a connection between me and him there. I have been known to whip out, you know, the old Dr. Death backdrop suplex. So, you know, maybe I need to be old Dr. Death Victor Vargas.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Well, Victor, at any time in 2020, do you plan to use any songs from the rock group War as your entrance music, keeping in mind that their manager is Sleazy P. Martini and lead vocalist is Slymenstra Hyman? Do you plan to use their music 2020?
I had not planned to use any War, but it's funny you mentioned that. I don't know if you noticed or not. If you look at the tattoo on my right bicep, it is actually a tattoo of the former lead singer, Odorous Urungus. So I am actually a gigantic, big War fan. And as much as I love them, I don't think I could just do them justice coming out to their music.
Whoa, Odorous Urungus. Very good. I suspect that you, one of your top 5 War songs is Penguin Attack. Am I correct, Penguin?
You are. You actually are. I love Penguin Attack. I love that whole album. That's a good album.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's great. Okay, yeah. It's very good to know that we have interviewed a wrestler on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Show that has a tattoo of one of the members of GWAR. This is huge. Very huge.
I'm glad to break this. I'm glad to end. I'd say that's a good way to end 2019.
Well, Victor, had you scouted videotape of the Unforeseen Sensational Perez before the match? Did you do any scouting like the NFL does?
No, I've watched Perez so much. I've seen him wrestle. He's seen me wrestle. I've wrestled the man himself so many times, like within such a short amount of time. We know each other very well, honestly. Like we can go in there, we know each other's, you know, repertoire in and out. We're pretty familiar with one another. Anyone else, I probably would have, you know, tried to brush up on some tape, you know, sit down, study my tapes, know what I'm getting into. I knew what I was getting into with Perez. Got to be careful though, because can't get too careful, because that's when he might, you know, whip out something new on me, and you know, old Vargas gonna be in trouble then.
Aha, very good. Okay, all right. Well, have you had any toe injuries recently? Because I noticed you entered the match barefoot.
Yes, actually. About a couple weeks, maybe a month or so ago, I actually broke my big toe on my right foot. It's all healed now. It's all good. But yeah, just came back from a match, and I was wondering, why is my toe numb? And looked down, and I was like, well, that toe wasn't pointed that way when I went out. That's strange. And I got a second opinion, and sure enough, they're like, oh yeah, that's broke. And it swelled up quite quickly. But I kept in wrestling, you got to keep pushing sometimes. And one little old missing toe ain't gonna stop old Vargas from doing what he does.
Well, how do you go about rehabilitating a toe? You can't exactly do toe curls.
with me, I would splint it. I would tape it up right. You know, I would try to take care of them as best I could. You know, all the while, you know, wrestling barefoot, and he would still get stomped on, and you know, kicked every so often. But for the most part, I protected him the best I could. But other than that, we just kind of do what we do. Me and old Toe, we just kind of tough it out, and we're okay now.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Victor, what did you think about your opponent's multicolored leg warmer on his lower right leg? It was red, orange, yellow, and violet. Do you think his style was similar to Kofi Kingston's? Maybe not in a leg warmer sense, but what did you think of his leg warmer?
It was funny. It was the first time I'd ever seen him wear that leg warmer. So that was something new he brought to the table, and it did throw me off. It gave me something of a Bruiser Brody vibe. You know, Brody used to have the big leg warmers on. So that's immediately what I thought of. Maybe the colors made me think of a Colt Cabana. You know, more of a vibrant character of that. But yeah, very very much a Bruiser Brody vibe off of him. So I thought maybe I was a Maybe Perez was going to get in there and try to brawl with me for once, but that's not what ended up happening.
Oh, okay. All right. It kind of reminded me of Jesse Ventura and the boas that he used to wear in Portland Wrestling back in the late 70s. Jesse Ventura.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that, too. Yeah, with all the colors. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Victor, would you say your win over the unforeseen sensational one was one of your top five victories of 2019?
Well, anytime, you know, like I said, me and brother have developed a little bit of a rivalry. So every time I get to get in there with Perez, it is a bit of a pleasure. And every time I get to, you know, maybe get one up on him, you know, something just kind of, you know, nudge him and something like, yeah, remember I won the last one. You know, it's always a good feeling to just have one up on someone that I kind of see as something as a young rival. But yeah, I would say every little victory I get up on unforeseen sensational Perez is you know, I'd say that's a good feeling. That's a good victory on that day.
Are there any truths to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington? Actually, they're my wrestling sources out of Shelton, Washington, that tell me that the winner between you and the unforeseen sensational one, the loser has to pay for scattered, smothered, and covered hash browns at Waffle House. Are there any truths to those rumors?
I can neither confirm nor deny the rumors that Perez had to pay for a smothered, covered, chunked, you know, the whole works hash browns at the Huntington, West Virginia Waffle House. I can neither confirm or deny, but I will say that Victor Vargas went on back on up to Dirtfoot with a very full stomach that night.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Very good. Well, Victor, did you have any women partners as a tag team partner in 2019? Did you tag with any women?
I did not. I did wrestle against a woman in 2019. But as for having the women on my side, both in and out of a wrestling ring, it was scarce for 2019 for old Victor. But who knows? Maybe I'll find a buddy who wants to team up with me.
Oh, can you tell us who this woman you wrestled in 2019 was? Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners who this was?
Absolutely. It was up in at Rockstar Pro Wrestling, their weekly amp show. I stood across the ring from the devious Heidi Katrina, a lass from the UK. She managed to get one up on old Victor Vargas that day. But yeah, she's about the one, the only, I believe. She's the only woman I faced in 2019.
Oh, okay. Can you give us the approximate size and weight of this Heidi Katrina, bearing in mind that some women are a little bit sensitive to their announced weight? Can you give us a close physical dimensions of this Heidi Katrina?
She's actually a little bit on the taller side. She's about my height. I'm about 6 foot, but she's. She was a very good. I couldn't tell you what her weight was, but you can tell she took very good care of herself. She, you know, before other brother was asking me about the regimens of a professional wrestler, like how much gym time should they have, and he could tell she spends a lot of time in the gym. And judging by the strength of her head scissors, she had me in at one point. She takes leg day very seriously.
Did she perform any belly-to-belly suplexes on you, belly-to-belly?
She did not, but she did actually manage to hit me with a giant swing at one point, which was very impressive because I do have the weight advantage on her. But she got me around for a couple rotations.
Oh, okay, Heidi Katrina. Okay, well, in your wrestling career, what's the hardest knife-edge chop you have ever received from a woman?
From a woman, I've managed to avoid any knife edge chops from women. Heidi did not knife edge chop me, to my recollection. She did give me a rather stiff slap across the face, though. That was definitely the hardest slap I've gotten from a woman in 2019.
Oh, slap! Ooh, okay. Well, okay. All right. Well, Victor, have you ever met women's champ Casey Carlisle, who resides in the Virginia area? Have you heard of Casey Carlisle?
The name actually does sound familiar, but me and Miss Carlisle have not crossed paths yet. I think if I keep going the way I am, I do believe we'll probably eventually see each other in a locker room somewhere.
Oh, okay. I think Sign Guy may be, time permitting, may be able to pass you on some Sign of the Times videos that he does, which features Casey Carlisle, women's champ. You'll be amazed at her large title belts.
Oh, awesome. I'd love to see them.
Oh, okay. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Victor, have you ever wrestled in Canada?
I have not wrestled in Canada yet. I've been lucky to actually kind of get out of my bubble a little bit, but Canada I haven't gotten to yet. But as I slowly creep up West Virginia and start heading up a little bit more north, I get a little bit closer each time. So I'm hoping to hit Canada here pretty soon.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Victor, original Demolition Smash member Randy Moondog Rex passed away last week. Was he one of your favorite wrestlers? And how much of his moves, if he was one of your favorites, have you incorporated in the ring, Moondog Rex?
Oh, I was always a huge fan of the Moondog. You can't tell by the way old Victor Vargas wears his shorts. I always thought very highly of the Moondog, although I haven't really incorporated many of their actual physical moves. I've definitely modeled how I carry myself after the Moon Dogs. I love me some good old Moon Dogs. I was very sad to hear the passing of Moon Dog Rex, because that was the passing of somebody that I look up to, and I do like to pattern myself after.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, Victor, do you ever think that there will be a wrestler from Kentucky to adopt the name of Quid Pro Quo? And if so, how big would a match be against Quid Pro Quo and the Liberal Democrat?
We've already got a Liberal Democrat, so I think Quid Pro Quo is just right around the corner. And I believe when that irresistible force meets that immovable object, I think it's going to bring the entire scene to its knees. I think we're all going to have to get together to see that one go down.
Personally, IQT Vokes would like to see Quid Pro Quo go 6'4", 299 pounds. That's what I'd like to see. Well, Victor, is it in your plans to one day be in attendance at the Cauliflower Alley Club? Do you plan to go there and attend?
Ooh, I would love to go to the Cauliflower Alley Club. A lot of favorites are in the Cauliflower Alley Club. Yeah, I would love to attend one of those. I would definitely put that on the career list of things I want to check. I'd say the Cauliflower Alley Club is the one I definitely want to hit at some point.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. Okay. Well, Victor, I'd like to read to you a passage from the autobiography of John Lydon, better known as Johnny Rotten, lead singer of the Sex Pistols. His autobiography is No Irish, No Blacks, and No Dogs. And this is going to lead into a wrestling question. Are you ready for a small chapter in this autobiography of Johnny Rotten?
Hit me, brother.
Oh, okay, here we go. The Pistols played a concert inside Chelmford Maximum Security Prison. We insisted Malcolm do something and book a gig. That was all he could come up with, so we drove up and played to these long-term to life jailbirds. It wasn't quite as severe as American prisons, but the inmates looked pretty damned psychopathic. It turned out great. The warders just said, get on with it. The guards left and literally locked the doors behind them and waited outside while we played to these crazies. We got the vibe that the warders wanted them to do us over. There was no security and no barbed wire fences to play behind. I was 5 feet away from the first row. 500 or 600 inmates were sitting there gritting their teeth. We had really good fun. Another receptive audience whose tastes weren't ruined by the press. Oh, I'm going to die, but I might as well die fashionably. We just went for it and did our best. What else could we have done? Huddled in the corner? We earned a lot of respect that day. Some of the prisoners came up to us after the gig. Thanks for coming, they said, as they filed back to their cells. Great, I answered back, strangely moved. No one had ever thanked us for anything before, much less for playing. My question is, Paul Cook, Steve Jones, Sid Vicious, and Johnny Rotten faced the fire in a rather intimidating backdrop. Would you yourself be comfortable in a prison setting if you wrestled?
You know, I think I would love to actually wrestle in a prison just for the experience, just to be able to say, just to have a story of going out in front of a, you know, what a unique crowd. Like, how would you interact with a crowd like that? I would love to actually have that experience of going to a prison to try and entertain some inmates with my violent tendencies within a wrestling ring, because I believe I could actually form a connection with these inmates, these supposed hardened, dangerous men. I think somewhere in my wild fashion, I think we would find a connection somewhere, and I think I would find a connection with them. I think we would have a great time if I were to wrestle in front of a bunch of prison inmates. I would like that. Yes.
Wow. Okay. Just say that you were booked to wrestle in Angola State Prison in Louisiana or Pelican Bay in Northern California. Would your entrance music be Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash?
I could see that probably rubbing. Maybe that might rub. No, you know what? I would come out to Johnny Cash. You can't hate Johnny Cash. I'd say they even connect with me even more. Like, hey, that guy gets it. He understands. I'd come out to get Johnny Cash for some inmates.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, Victor, it's been great talking with you, and I hope that sign guy might pass on a sign of the times with Casey Carlisle to you so you can see her large title belts and her graduation diploma from Hot Nurse University. And I hope you say hi to the Liberal Democrat for me. Yes.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, back to you, Stone Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Victor, one of the people that you have reminded me of since I've been watching you is someone that's from the Appalachian area as well, that being the Gift Jason Kincaid. I know he wrestled in your general neck of the woods quite a bit as well and continues to do so. Have you heard many comparisons between yourself and Jason Kincaid at this point?
I have not heard many comparisons between myself and Jason Kincaid, but that is that's extremely high praise, and I appreciate that a lot. I have been lucky enough to share a locker room with Mr. Kincaid on several occasions. Just an absolutely wonderful person. Very, very welcoming, very warm human being. Very extremely talented within a professional wrestling ring is Jason Kincaid. He definitely lives up to that name of the Gift. He is definitely a gift to see and a gift to the professional wrestling business as a whole. So I deeply appreciate that comparison. Thank you.
I definitely can see it. I'd say pretty early on I kind of got that vibe. Now, here in the month of December, of course, with the holidays happening, wrestlers a lot of times will make quite a bit of money on their merchandising. A lot of wrestlers sell all forms of merchandise, T-shirts, hats, coffee mugs, stickers, pins, all types of things. Have you gotten in on the merchandising aspect of wrestling yet?
I've dipped my big toe into the pool of merchandising a little bit. You know, I've gotten the standard pro wrestler 8x10, you know, and those actually sold pretty well. I actually had a run of T-shirts not too long ago, sold through those as well. You know, which was very, very happy, of course. Working on, you know, getting some more shirts out there, another design of T-shirts. I believe we've toyed with the idea of getting other pieces of merchandise out, like maybe doing some big foam bones that say yeah across them. The idea mill is always turning in our heads.
Now, we mentioned earlier that Primetime Wrestling has the pay-per-views coming up. They have one Sunday, in fact. When you're wrestling for a company that has either television or they stream their shows on one of the many streaming services and you're on the pay-per-views, do you find yourself wrestling differently at all as compared to just your standard show in front of the fans that are in attendance?
You know, I think when you're on a bigger stage and you know you're the lights are on just a little bit brighter. Maybe there's a chance to see more eyes. I think you naturally kind of, without even thinking about it, subconsciously kick it into a different gear altogether. But I try to come into my matches like 100% full force every time. Like, you're never going to there's never going to be a moment where Victor Vargas doesn't give it his all 100%. But yeah, I could see, like, I think even on a subconscious level, I think you naturally kick it into a higher gear when it's the stakes are higher.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you would like to say to our listeners today, if you want to plug and promote absolutely anything, social medias, merchandise, upcoming shows, your favorite barbecue restaurant, whatever, floor is all yours.
Oh, man. For anyone in the Kentucky area, this Sunday, the 21st, December 21st, we are having PTW, Primetime Wrestling, Jingle Brawl, our last pay-per-view of the month, or of the year, actually, last pay-per-view of 2019. So if you have an opportunity, come on out. We've already sold out of gold tickets. We still have silver tickets. The gold tickets let you get in, see the pre-matches before the show, which your boy, Old Dirty Double V, is going to be on against Big Mean Donnie Green, someone who's been a staple, a backbone of Kentucky wrestling for years and years. And I get the chance to take on Old Donnie Green. It's steel cage. Every match will be in a steel cage, barring mine. But yeah, PTW, big show this Sunday. Every Wednesday, I'm up in Dayton, Ohio. I'm in Rockstar Amped. That's every Wednesday at Turnbuckles and Brews in Dayton, Ohio. And every Thursday, I'm at IWA Mid-South at the arena in Jeffersonville, Indiana. My name is, you know, the Appalachian Headhunter, Victor Vargas. You can follow me at Headhunter Varg, V-A-R-G, on Twitter. You can also look up Headhunter Vargus, V-A-R-G-U-S, on Facebook, and follow me on there as well. I've recently got an Instagram, too, of Headhunter Varg, same as the Twitter. My trainer, Larry D, and I, we have a something of a weekly YouTube show called where it's just us doing vlogs of our weekly wrestling adventures and laughing and having a lot of fun. We've gotten a lot of good feedback. It's a lot of fun. A little bit of a peek into the world of a professional wrestler and the weekly trials and weekly roads. Just what's on our mind while we're hours and hours on the road. It's a good time.
Well, Victor Vargas, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. We appreciate you taking the time to do so. I want to wish you the best of luck Sunday, and as you continue on with your career, and hopefully our paths will cross again sometime down the road.
I hope they do, my man. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate everybody for listening out there. God bless. Have a great Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Everything else everybody has, you know, Happy New Year. I look forward to going into 2020 years with many people supporting me as I do, and hope to add more.
All right, fans, definitely, if you have not done so already, check out Victor Vargas. Go buy yourself a ticket to see him in action when he's in a town near you. Great, great young talent. I think you'll hear a lot more about him as he continues in his wrestling career for sure. So check him out. We will be back with you Sunday. Sunday, we're going to be talking to Chicken Bob. Chicken Bob doing a solo interview with us on Sunday, so make sure you're with us for that, and we will talk to you soon.